We like to get after it, and who knows how long this is ever going to last. So it's, you know, we have fun out there on the road, try to do what we can. She's getting digged down and down, real out and wrong, tag teamed up in Tennessee, hang on in Austin.
Welcome everybody to Nashville Drummers Podcast, episode 29.
Today's guest is drummer and podcaster Matt McElwain.
This was actually a pretty brief conversation compared to what the rest of our podcasts tend to be. He was on a pretty strict deadline and had to get out of here, but we had a lot of fun just talking to him about the road and shenanigans and about a certain song that he is well known for playing with a certain country artist who we will mention regularly.
Yeah, it was cool hearing how that camp is really like a family. We get into the story behind that song, how he and Trey met, and how, you know, Matt's actually pretty new to Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was cool like seeing these guys come here and kind of hit the ground running, and how he's used his other skills. We talk about skill stacking, right?
Yep.
His podcasting, video, audio skills, and he's made quite a little niche for himself with other podcasts. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's kind of killing the game. Matt's a great dude. Really liked talking to him, and we hope you enjoy this episode of Nashville Drummers Podcast. Before we get started, I'd like to take a moment to thank our newest sponsor, Drumbox, Nashville's newest practice space for drummers. Hey drummers, do you need a place in Nashville to practice on actual drums? Drumbox is Nashville's newest drum practice studio. Book sessions online and get the space to yourself. It's fully equipped with two kits, cymbals, hardware, and even sticks are provided. 30-minute, 1-hour, and 2-hour sessions are available at www.drumbox.space. And use the coupon code NDP25 for 25% off your first session. Again, that's www.drumbox.space.
How do you pronounce your last name?
McElwain.
McElwain. Okay, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to assume and say it wrong.
Oh, man, it happens.
Well, welcome, Matt McElwain, to Nashville Drummers Podcast.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, man.
Feels weird being on the other side of the camera for once.
Yeah. So why don't we jump into that? Tell us, we're kind of talking beforehand. I guess that's how we connected through Instagram, because I've been following some of the podcast work that you're involved with, right? Why don't you tell us what you're doing there?
So I do a lot of things between... Not only do like been playing drums for Trey Lewis, but also run his podcast, and then also run Matt Burrell's at In the Round podcast. So, and then we just picked up another one with 615 House and iHeart Media, and then another one called My Highway for Zeb that works over at River House. It just became an in-house thing where they asked me, like, I know how to run all the cameras and do all the audio and everything. So they've just taken me on, and it's made one more avenue of work for me in this town.
That's awesome. Man. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I follow the In the Round podcast, and I, as we were talking about before this started, like trying to up our video quality. So I'm always looking for other podcasts, and I think I just did a DM to Matt, who runs... Matt Murrell, right?
Yeah.
And, I was like, hey, I love your content. Like, would you mind, could we chat about like your setup? And he immediately was like, hey, message Matt, he's our producer. And I looked you up. I was like, oh, Matt. Yeah. Like, I think I was already following you. Like, but it's just funny. Like, of course it's the drummers, right? That put this stuff on. Like,
oh yeah.
We run the show. We know how to do everything.
Yeah. Right? It's always something, you know, it's,
Drummers.
That's it. That's the new remix.
And you're always the one behind the lead guy. So it's
true. Yeah.
So, but we make the show run, and like, man, those are super long days. Like this, me being on this week, this is like my 7th one we've shot and filmed this week done.
Yeah.
So,
is that more than one a day? Like, are we talking business week or?
It depends on certain weeks. Some weeks more than others, but I did 2 Monday, 2 Tuesday, was off Wednesday practicing, 2 today, and then here doing this one.
Wow.
So it's been like my ears hurt from headphones. Like,
isn't it nice to be doing a podcast and not be having to do all of that right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all finally, the setup, too.
Yeah.
Because I was on the working drummer with Matt Krause, and it was so nice just walking in, let him handle all the equipment.
You're doing all this. Like, I can just... I can sit here and just bullshit with you for a couple hours and walk away. This is awesome.
Yeah, finally. That's one of those, like, because, dude, those things, each one of the podcasts that I do have a different work process when it comes to the editing side of things or the uploads or, so like the DM Monday with Trey Lewis, that one, we have a team of editors out in Texas that handle all the editing on that side of things. But those are super long days for me because we have to... There's four cameras recording, four mics, and it gets shot. We usually shoot anywhere in the afternoon or late evening. And by the time we're done shooting and me uploading the stuff to our hard drive and then the guys from Texas getting it, I can sometimes be up to like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been up many hours doing all this. You know, three people, usually one or two camera angles, so not nearly as much.
It's tough. And before we had all that, I was doing Matt Burrell's In the Round, and I was running three cameras. I didn't have a camera switcher. I didn't have any of that. So I was hitting all these camera angle cuts, probably the same thing you're doing. I'm having to manually go in the video editing software and make all these cuts from, if you watch Burrell's podcast, he likes to talk, so it's a lot of jumping back and forth. So then lining audio up, it would take forever. Yeah. But thankfully now we got a little bit easier of a setup.
I definitely want to go into your gig with Trey Lewis, but tell us where this whole, you know, the video, podcasting, audio world to you kind of started for you.
I mean, if we go back, it's when it comes to the audio stuff, back when before Dig Down Dallas happened, I've been with Trey for 8 years. And we did all the cover scene stuff and all around the Southeast. And sometimes we'd go out towards like Arkansas and Texas and whatnot. But I was always the guy. I just knew audio. So I ran sound along with setting up the stage, along with doing my drums. Like I made a lot of the set lists. And then once I've only been in town for about a year and a half now.
Oh, wow.
And I immediately hit the ground running when I got here, started going to Broadway as much as I could, trying to shake hands. It's like, hey, what am I going to do in my free time that I'm not out on the road? And immediately got down there, started shaking some hands, meeting some people. And I picked up, I don't have a whole lot of time for Broadway stuff, but I do make time to go down there just to switch up what we do on the road.
Yeah.
And got down there and started doing that. And then Burrell was doing the podcast thing, and I was like, dude, you're missing out on like your social media side of things and possibly monetizing on YouTube. I was like, dude, I can run a couple cameras and edit the video. That way you can start putting it up on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
And it just spiraled from there where it worked out, me and him.
So do you own all that gear?
Is that Trey Lewis. Lewis bought all that stuff.
Okay, nice. Nice to have that artist the hookup there.
Yeah. He's like my brother, man. Trey takes really good care of us for somebody at like our level. We're not doing like, I mean, we're anywhere still as of right now playing. We can play a 300 cat room or we'll play a 2000 cat room and the occasional opening slot in arenas or festivals or something like that. But I mean, it's for what we do, he takes really good care of us. Like he don't spend his money on dumb stuff. He puts that's it all great. Back into the business and also make sure we're taken care of.
That's awesome. I'm really glad to hear that.
Oh yeah. He's awesome. He's always been a great friend. We've already got past all the BS of being on the road doing the cover stuff of the, you know, the brother fight type stuff.
Oh, and
so now it's just like, you know, if we're still go from van to we'll be on what's called a bandwagon occasionally or we'll get a bus occasionally. Like, it's pretty much we all know our lane and he pretty much stays in his bunk most of the time. So,
yeah.
I wanted to ask you because what you've described in this short time you've been here is a pretty busy schedule and life. So it was just going in my head. How do you avoid burnout going like you're going?
Dude, this is nothing compared to what it was. We've been at this since the song went, about 2.5 years now. before this, dude, I worked, I'd say for a good 6 years, I worked 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I was working for a newspaper and I was an independent contractor, so I could take off anytime I wanted, like anytime I needed to go play the cover gigs. And so I would do that. I'd get home. We'd play usually Thursday through Saturday every single week. And I'd get home on Sundays, go straight to work, get back home, do that all the way up until we left again on Thursday. Up here, it's a grind and it's a lot of different things, but I'm used to it. I'm used to working. Like if I'm not on the road too, it's a bummer. Like I'd rather be on the road than be sitting around. But I find other things to do here in town that just keep me busy. So it's, you know, be careful what you do in town, but it's you gotta
there's easy ways to burn time that don't do you any good.
Do way too much of it too sometimes. So
what do you do for fun?
You go fishing, right?
We do a lot of fishing when I get the chance. Trey likes to carry a lot of different people out, but occasionally I'm like his like number one fishing buddy. Like if he's going to Florida, I think I've been like 3 times now, and we go down there for like 3 and 4 days at a time, and it's what they call it, a big bass factory. So you go down there, there's like, I think they got 21 lakes, and we stay in a cabin. Like those guys have been super nice to us over the years.
Wow.
We got hooked up with them. We went and played, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of the Barn in Sanford, Florida.
That sounds really familiar.
Cool little spot. The guy that owns that also is friends with the place in Florida called Beanville Outdoors, and they sent us over there the day before we had to play and took us out that morning, let us go fishing for free. We get out there and we got hooked ever since, because I think me and Trey got on a boat together, and Brill also too, never been fishing in his life. You know, he's from New York, so he's not an outdoors guy.
Yeah.
And he caught like his first like 3 or 4 pounder that day that he's ever caught. Like we're just like watching him struggle trying to reel that thing in.
Change his life.
Oh yeah. He's like, man, I've never been fishing before, and here I am, like out here catching 3 and 4 pounders. We're like, yeah, I think. And we had our buddy Ryan Nelson, our guitar player, on another boat.
Ben.
And I think they caught like 2 fish and we reeled in like 30.
Right. That Ben Miller?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my buddy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
He really pushes us.
Yeah. He's such a badass. I just really appreciate that dude. When I was going through like some really tough shit in my life, me and him, we just like went and grabbed lunch and just talked for a couple hours. I'm like, this guy's the shit. I love this dude. I love you, buddy. Wherever you are.
We need more people like that. Right?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, you need guys like that.
I have to tell it. Does he know you're on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I told him I was coming on a drummer's podcast. I don't know if he knew which one or not.
I assume he does. Maybe. I don't know.
I'll let him
know. Missouri Drummer's Podcast? That happens every time. While you're kind of giving us that story, I was thinking of episode 15. We had Jake Summers on. Mm-hmm. You know, he gave us the story with his gig. You know, obviously with Luke Combs, and kind of like a Cinderella story, right? He moved here and just met a songwriter at Around and just like, you know, started playing shows and obviously blew up from there. Kind of go deeper into your story, meeting Trey, and kind of give us the background of how those first few shows were, like the first few months even to where you are now.
So it goes way back. Weirdly enough, how it works out in this town or even outside of this town, I credit it all going from a buddy of mine. His name's Michael Warren. He lives here now in Nashville. He's probably been here about as long as I have. But I met him probably 9-10 years ago, and he actually called me. He's like, "Hey, my buddy in Nashville is putting out this EP. He's got some shows coming up. He needs a drummer." He's like, "Can you play the tracks?" And I ain't gonna lie to you. I lied to his face, said, "Yeah, I can do that." Not a clue how to do it.
Lie and figure it out. But yeah. Be confident.
It's exactly how I did it. That, I had 2 weeks to learn, I think, like 10 songs, and none of these songs I'd ever heard. They sent me tracks. And then I remember the first, I showed up to rehearsal. I was so nervous. We were at like this hour. Yeah. And the guy's name is Murphy Elmore. I get in there. I'm like, man, I was like, I'm really sucking this up. And they're like, after the rehearsal, they're like, "Great job. Like, we'll see you Friday." We were the first show was going to be Zydeco. in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I was like, perfect. Like, I was still living in Selma, Alabama. And I was like, that's about an hour and a half drive, not bad at all. Made it through that gig, and I only lasted, he wanted somebody that lived in Nashville at the time. So I was with him for like 6 or 7 months. And me and him still great friends at the time. And I go up to, it was a first year of a festival called 65 South Fest at Zydeco in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And I go up there, I was like, hey, I'm gonna come up and hang out, watch. I need to, you know, meet some folks and see if I can't, you know, land another gig.
Yeah.
And get up there and just walking around, I see Trey setting up what little merch he had at the time. And I think it was like one of his first shows that he was getting to do at that level. And we get there and I start talking to him, and he calls me like 2 weeks later and says, hey, like some little barbecue joint or something in Birmingham called Moe's, and get up there and they're like, yeah, you're good. You want to keep playing with us? I don't know if I'm committed yet. I was like, what else you got? And he
what
said, I play another gig. And I just started clicking with him and just got along with that. And we all got so much in common as far as like certain things that's happened in our lives over the years. And like, we've butted heads and stuff, but now that we're all gotten kind of older, like, ever since then, I think I can say I've only missed 2 gigs with him in 8 years.
Wow.
But that's pretty much how it all started with him. And going back to Murphy is when all this Dick Down in Dallas stuff popped off, we were spending so much time up here in Nashville for rehearsals and getting the show ready and, like, just doing all this other stuff. And my family had just moved out of the town I was in. So I was just like, I'm single, no kids, 32 years old. It's like, what am I doing? I was like, I'm going to Nashville. So I called Murphy. He had always told me, he's like, hey, you need a place to stay. He's like, I got a room for rent, or at least I'll make a spot for you. Mm-hmm. Called him. I was like, hey, I'm looking to move up in like another month or two. He's like, come on, I got a room open. I was like, all right, came up. So, like, big full circle moment of, like, how I knew him back in the day, and that's how I met Trey and then moved up here.
Yeah.
And, like, it's really weird how things work out.
Yeah. It does seem to be the case, too, like, in those journeys. Like, there's always those people that may never get the mention on a podcast or, like, the public, you know, attention they deserve, but people that really help us out, you know, whether it's financially or just, like, you know, needed a place to stay or grab coffee with you, you know. Yeah. Like, those people are so important.
Yeah,
the supporters.
And speaking of Jake, we had I had lunch with Jake I think a week or so ago. Yeah. Him and, like, just trying to, speaking of Ben's been trying to, yeah, like, put me in contact with some folks. Like, I've met Jake several times, but I know he's always got people talking to him, so he probably never remembers when I see him out. And then finally he's like, yeah, I don't know if I met him or, yeah, I'll go have lunch with him. And then, like, Elton Charles, I just had lunch with him.
Cool.
Cool dude. I don't get time to see a lot of, I don't know where a lot of drummers hang out, but they were telling me certain spots.
Yeah.
Now that I can go out and kind of see, I think Harry Meyer does something.
Yeah.
The first Wednesday, yeah, of every month. And they said to go check that out.
Oh, really? Well, that's having a network of, obviously there's a thing about networking, and some people do it at a, maybe like a toxic level, but having a network of friends, like real people that you can have relationships with, like, no, I'm not, I don't want to climb any kind of ladder. I just want to have somebody who's doing this too, who I can talk to about it and relate to. Like, that's gigantic. It's so important to have that. You're like, oh yeah, there are other people doing this weird, wacky shit and staying sane somehow. I'm like, that's half of the fun of this podcast for me is that moment. I'm like, oh, what do you do to keep yourself from going crazy doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I'm like, okay, what? Yeah. All the drum-specific stuff is great, too. I love that. But, like, how the fuck do you stay normal? Like,
all this whole career is. Just, yeah, how do we not stay crazy?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of not getting sleep.
Yeah.
It's a grind. So if you're coming to this town,
you gotta love
it's one of those things you're going to be. Whether you're wanting to do the Broadway thing, which I've looked on your Instagram, I think you do a lot of Broadway stuff.
I do, yeah. That's my bread and butter.
So it's like, you get down there, like, it's easy to get sucked into doing you got to be careful what you do down there too, because it can send the drinks up. And, like, yeah. I remember one day, I did 3 shifts. thankfully, it was all at the same spot, so easy enough.
That's nice. Yeah.
Well, pee break, come right back.
pretty much, yeah. It was all at the Valentine, and I was like, I was downstairs on the main stage, then all the way up to the third floor. Actually, I did four shifts that day. Now that I think about it.
Holy
shit! It was weird how it worked out. Is
quad
main stage. Went upstairs, played a little acoustic thing on the third floor, I think. Came back down, played some downstairs, got halfway through upstairs and wasn't nobody in there. And the guy I was playing with got a call to go down to Printer's Alley to finish up somewhere for somebody that didn't show up. So, if you want some money on that day, I think I made over $1,000 that day.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Jeez.
Quads, even like a bummer quad, like on not great day, that's still, you can make some really good money.
Really good money, and your back's going to hurt, too.
It is going, yeah. I've done a triple. I've never done the quad. I'm like, that's someday.
You'll get
someday.
There. And you'll probably be live streaming it, too.
Right. Well, yeah. If I do it, because I don't have to at this point, because I've got my gigs lined up, but I'm like, I would like to at some point do that just to be like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
I did it.
Exactly.
Our buddy Nico. Do you know Nico Medina?
I don't think so.
He's awesome. He's just such a killer player, such an awesome dude. He plays downtown a lot. And we were talking to him about, he did a couple of quads. And Benny was talking about, I think he did it like 2 days in a row. I'm like, two quads in a row?
I would not have done anything the rest of the week.
I'm like, how did you? He's like, dude, I do that. You know that Davey Litch getting out of your own way? He's like, I'm really careful about that. I'm like, you know, everything. I'm so careful. I'm like, all right, dude, whatever you can do to not get injured playing.
He's in good shape, and that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm in the best shape at all. I don't know if y'all see any of the antics we get into on the road. It is.
I've not seen it.
Yeah. Oh, it's you scroll around. It's we get into some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all wild?
I'd say so, yeah. I wouldn't say officially deemed, but we've been deemed the Motley Crue of country music.
Let's go.
That's quite a title.
But without the drugs, but we just do a good bit of drinking.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
But at least I don't drink before or during shows, but after the shows, we get after it.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Any non-criminal, just silly stories you can share?
Yeah, I mean, we do some stupid stuff. I wouldn't say none of it's ever like, it's all pretty harmless. Like,
sure.
It's not like, we give our tour manager, which is Burrell, we give him, he has to watch. He calls himself the babysitter. I'm like, dude, you've never seen us get in any kind of trouble that's going to get us. Like, yeah, we do some dumb, like, I don't never wrestle, but our guitar player and bass player, they'll occasionally get in, like, wrestle on concrete for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're like, just a bunch of kids.
Yeah. I say kid, like, the bass player, he just turned 29 or 30, and then I'm 32. We're young at heart. Like, we like to get after it, and who knows how long this is ever going to last. So, it's, you know, we have fun out there on the road and try to do what we can.
That's a good point. I mean, just not taking anything for granted, you know, any one show, any tour, you know, just being grateful for it.
Yeah, we play our ass off, and then, you know, we want to let loose after. Like, those things, like rehearsals, and, you know, you put all this work in, and you go out, like, we just got back from Colorado. We don't get to go out there but like once a year. So we're going to enjoy it while we're out there.
Yeah.
Dude, I get it. You only get to, you get each day one time, and then that day is gone forever. There's a temptation to just be like, yep, I'm just going to go as crazy with this day as I possibly can, because why the fuck not?
Oh, yeah.
Why not? I don't get to do it again. So.
Yeah, and some of those venues, too, it's, you know, you get to go, there's been times I've walked into places and I'm just like, whoever thought this kid from Selma, Alabama is playing, walked into, like, arenas. We did a festival, I think, a year or so ago. It was Morgan Wallen's first show back after his whole controversy, and we're sitting out there first on that day, and it was in Auburn, Alabama, and we played Auburn for 6 years once a month at Sky Bar, just on this little front stage, like, we could barely fit on, and then we're sitting out there in front of, as the opening act, in front of 12,000 people, and we're like, like, this is wild. We've had several instances like that. We're walking into arenas, like, we didn't do, like, Trey did the Kid Rock stuff this last year, and we weren't playing it as a band, but we got to go to several of the shows. I'm like, man, I used to listen to him when we were kids. Like, I had to sneak the CD with the middle finger.
Yeah.
Because I was like, my parents were not going to let me have that CD whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So yep. Getting to go and, like, see that, like, Bob's a rock star, man. He literally flies in private jet every single night, pulls up in a blacked out Escalade.
Jeez.
Hops on stage, plays a show, hops back in, flies back to Nashville.
Wow.
Every single night.
That's intense.
he's wild.
Like, Trey got to ride on it. Apparently, I think he has on the tail wing, has two middle fingers.
I'm sure.
On the back of it.
He's got it.
And it says American Badass.
Yeah.
Good old Bobby Ritchie. That's hilarious.
And their band's great, too, as far as, like, you think of Bob and you're like, just bigger than life, but all of his band, like, I think her name's Stephanie, his drummer.
Yeah, she's been playing with him forever, right?
Long time. I think she said like 30 years or something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we were walking by. We were in Dallas, and I stayed out to do the tour managing side of things for Trey that day, like just taking care of the merch, making sure he had everything he needed. Mm-hmm. And he only went out to play one song that every single night, and that was it. And we walked by her, and she gave Trey a hug, and Trey introduced me to her. And she's like, oh, do you want to get up and play it tonight? I was like, nope, I've heard what Bob does on stage. And I was like, if you mess up, I know he'd chew your ass out. So I'm not – I was like, I'm not no getting thanks. Up there and messing this up.
Have you seen the videos of him doing it downtown? He'll like, if someone starts all summer long too fast, he'll get on the stage and be like
– not it.
And he'll be like, give him the tempo in the air, like, it's this.
I hadn't seen that. Yeah,
like, that's awesome.
He's like, it's not. You're fucking going too fast. Like, he will. Yeah, he'll let you know. He's real serious about that stuff.
He's dead on every single night. I never saw a show that didn't run flawless.
Yeah,
when we got a chance to go watch them, mm-hmm. which most of them are like that. Like, we did a show with Brantley. That show ran flawless. Like, I'm wondering where he just started. Somehow a Bud Light flies up at the same single part. Of every show, so he can have his drummer shotgun it.
Oh,
and it comes from the same spot in the crowd every single night.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And I'm like, how are they playing this every single time?
That's pretty
what
cool.
Who's doing this? Like, do you have just one person that's at every show, or do you hire like some rando every time?
Yeah. Cause it's an unopened beer, and you know they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And it is a Bud Light every single time.
That's funny. Wow. What interesting.
I might have just gave away a secret at their shows. But.
Hey, well, if you've gone to more than one of their shows, you'd see it. But that's interesting.
Do you guys have any show rituals like that?
Not in particular. So Trey is brought in as far as like just the whole between social media and to the live show to pretty much anything we do. Like, he plasters us all over his social media. We've turned into another personality behind the stuff he does too. But during the show, he has certain things where it's just dirty things he does. Cause I mean, the nature of our show, I mean, Dick Down Dallas.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that too. Yep.
I've got a few things that I do during that song, just playing it downtown.
Yeah.
I'm always holding up Snapchat with various versions of that, like my own additions to the lyrics, if you will.
That's what Trey changed second verse where it says, I'm old, what's his name? Sucking off, I'm old, what's his name? He's done changed it in the live show. He'll turn around and point at me and say, sucking off Matt McElwain.
Yeah, that's
awesome. So it's turned into this whole thing. Somebody videoed it at the Brantley show, too.
Yeah, and the audience loves that, you know?
Like, oh, yeah, they think it's hilarious.
Too, making every show unique to the city you're in, like just being in the moment.
Yeah.
Whether it's changing one lyric or throwing Bud Lights on the stage.
They hump their guitar or jack off their guitars.
God.
Like, it's why, like, I'm back with my drumsticks doing the similar sort of thing. Like, I mean, it's just that
similar
one moment
gestures.
Of. Yeah. Very suggestive.
I mean, you mentioned that song a few times, Dick Down in Dallas. Give us that story and what that song means to you guys now.
Dude, that song is one of those. I remember the night it came out. I wasn't living up here yet.
And when was that?
December 2020.
Oh, is that? Okay. I thought it was older than that for some reason.
It seems like it is. Yeah. Because, I mean, hell, at this point now, if you're on Broadway, it's played every single, like,
every night.
It's one of those things, too. If anybody happens to recognize us down there and know they'll get us up there, I'm like, man, y'all don't, like, I don't mind getting up here and doing it, but, like, y'all are making $100 probably. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. And we can get sometimes... Because me and the bass player, we do some stuff down there. He does it more than I do now at this point. But he, whoever we're playing with, they'll, like, try to play it for free just through the night. And we're like, no, man, y'all make that money.
Dude,
like,
yeah, make a bidding war. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like, y'all got us on stage, too. So, like, you know it. Yeah. Like, just, you know, yeah, make the money.
If we weren't going to charge extra, now we definitely have to. Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on, Mike. Yeah. It's a special edition. You're not just getting the song. You're getting a very unique experience of the song.
I mean, if Ringo was there and you're playing Beatles, you're...
Right.
Yeah. You're going to be like, damn. Like,
yeah. You're going to play Come Together in front of Ringo?
You have to let me know where you're playing. There'll be a time out. Trey goes down there quite a bit. So we'll get him to pop in he'll fill that tip jar.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
He does. If he knows we're playing down there, he'll usually pop in occasionally.
Oh, love it. Yeah, man. I'm usually playing. Well, I play some late nights, but I usually, like, I'm playing late tonight. But I 4 days. My main gig is a 2 to 6. So I'm guessing he's more of a late night guy.
Well, he was doing Sunday fun day the other day. He was out in the middle of the day.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe one of these Sundays. That'd be awesome. That'd be fun.
Maybe I'll actually come down.
I know, for real.
This guy's been doing this for over a year. It's like, yeah. I've tried to, I mean, you know, living here in Nashville, I don't come down to Broadway too much.
We're tough. Busy, man. Like,
but
sure. It is just
expensive. No excuse. I could totally come down.
I want to come to your, I mean, I've accidentally been to one of your shows.
That's right, yeah. That was outside the Ryman. Because
you didn't tell me you were playing. You never tell me you're playing.
Whatever. I definitely put it on social media, but yeah, I don't necessarily text individual people.
You should. You should tell them when you're going
to
go do something.
Well, I need more gigs for that to happen now.
I'll be sure if I got something that comes in I can't do, I'll shoot you a text.
No, not afraid to sub down on Broadway either. Yeah. I don't do it full time like Nate.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be cool.
It's pretty fun every now and then.
Oh, like, I love it.
It gets, I will say when I was doing it as much, because there for a minute I was doing it, I'd say 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And then we'd hit the road on like Thursdays and come back. And then we were doing it. We had the every Sunday slot from 10 to 2 at the Valentine for probably like, I was on that same gig for I think 4 months.
Yeah.
And like, it was always tough coming back in from like wherever we were at. And then it's like, oh man, got to pack up all this stuff. Like, I'm tired.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then getting down there. But going back to the Dick Down Dallas thing, Trey called me and I was like, in that one night, like, you tried so hard for stuff to flip, you know, in a career. Mm-hmm. And we were like thinking, all right, we're going to play covers. And we're in the middle of COVID. We're like, yeah. I'm living off savings. We, you know, you always make just cash on those cover gigs. Yeah. So I was like, no unemployment. I'm taking any odd job I can. We're occasionally hitting like whatever venue that's not too big or like people weren't going out to, but they would still pay us to come out and play. We would hit those every now and then. When that song came out that night, I remember seeing it shoot straight to the top of the charts on iTunes. And it's like, I think that at that time, I think WAP by Megan Thee Stallion was just sitting up there. And all you see is like, I think it was midnight. You just see the flop of that song going right in front of it. And I was like, there's no way. I think Trey said it at this point, but it sold tens of thousands of units, like, which is insane for people to do at this point. And
now, were you involved in that process, the songwriting process?
No, that was Matt McKinney, Drew Trosclair. He plays a lot downtown.
Somebody, when that song came up, obviously that song just comes up. Somebody a while back was like, oh, it was a bar back at Rippy's was one of the guys who wrote it. I was like, really? Yeah, I don't know. Is that a true story, or can I find whoever that was and be like, "You're full of shit"?
I don't know if he. I don't think he ever did work down there. Yeah, maybe. Brent Gafford was the other one. I don't know that anybody was. I'd have to ask. I know because I know Drew's down there a good bit playing. I'll have to ask him if he was bar backing over there. But not as far as I know, like Trey wasn't even a co-writer on that song. So for anybody out there is wondering, you own the master, you,
right,
you have the money.
So right. That's how that works.
Yeah. Yep. Like, I know some people don't, I still don't completely understand it, but I'm just like, maybe you record the song, make sure you own the master.
Yep. That's the way that goes.
Yeah.
That's people make tunes all the time. That's one of the great things about this town is some people are just writing all the time. Like, and cool, here's a song. Does somebody want this song? Yes, I'll take that song. I'll record it and I'll take a chance on it. Cool. It's your song. Here's this money. Great. It's yours now. Oh, that's number one. Great. Maybe I shouldn't have sold it to you. Well, but you did, though. So
the music industry, thanks. Summed by Nathan Sluttner in 7 seconds.
That is how that good. Works.
Yeah.
Why did I go to 4 years for music business? That was it. That was great.
That's it. That's all you need to know. That and paradiddles and your set. Just
on your masters.
Yeah, on your masters.
And watch your publishing, too. Oh,
yes. Yeah, you're right.
Serving the Nashville, Brentwood, and Franklin areas, Music Lab Nashville offers comprehensive hands-on music lessons in contemporary techniques and styles. Students learn from the most qualified instructors in state-of-the-art practice and performance settings. All ages, all styles, all levels. Visit nashville.musiclab.co to learn more and to sign up for a free trial lesson.
But yeah, wild. So the song came out, and then kind of, what was that first 24 hours, 48 hours, sounds like, or that first week?
That first week.
Is he just calling you
I
guys
couldn't.
Up?
There was a lot of times that we just didn't call Trey at all.
Yeah.
Because like, there was just no getting in touch with him because his phone was off the hook. We were riding down to play our first show after that song came out to Statesboro. They booked us for 2 nights in a row. Finally coming down, like playing this venue that we've played for years, but we're coming down there with this massive song where I remember on the way down there the entire time from, I think we came from Birmingham, the entire 6 hours, Trey is on the phone with every record label in Nashville, LA, and New York, like trying to give him like X amount of dollars to sign with them. Yep. And he turned every single one of them down. And we're like, from that point on, he took some meetings with booking agencies and ended up landing with WME. And from then there, I think it was only us, Hardy, and maybe one or two other acts that were out kind of playing some shows.
Yeah.
And it was a mixture of, because this is all like 2021.
Yeah.
And we did, for that year, I think we did 138 shows. And every single one of them was different because it was COVID. There were some that were like slam packed where people didn't care, but they kept us out of the way where it was like we couldn't post photos, we couldn't post videos. And there were some that was doing what we're doing now where you're sitting at a table, you get up, put your mask on, you go. And we had to load in with masks. There was temperature checks. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was...
Don't miss those days.
No. Like, it was so strict. Like, we did the marathon probably like back in March or April of 2021, like sold out. I think they can only do like, it's like half capacity or something.
Yeah.
And it was sitting room only, mask. Even for us, they had a line 6 feet from the edge of the stage that we could not pass. And I was like, man, this is a, and they temperature checked us coming in. Like,
it's kind of ruins the vibe a little bit.
Right? Yeah, just a bit.
Rockstar, but first.
Yeah. You are now allowed to rock. Yeah. Thanks.
Here's some sanitizer. Mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the nature of that song is just, I mean, the crowds are wild.
Song, yeah.
Like, it's, people want to get drunk. They want to scream it like it. Still to this day, like, we still have, like, if anybody there's ever doubt, like if you get into a spot where you get in a position of a song like that, or even like, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to have shows. Like, I didn't realize how affected, because certain areas we go to, we had somebody, just a real shit promoter in one, like this one market, and we're playing like this music hall and only 10 people showed up.
Wow.
And it's like, dude, what in the heck? Like, like, what did y'all do here?
Y'all 10 better be rowdy as fuck.
Oh, they weren't. Like, I think we were like, I can say it now because I don't think they're probably, nobody's going to pay attention to it. But it was somewhere in Nebraska, and just like, I think we were contracted for 90 minutes, and Trey turns around, he's like, cut this. We're only doing 70, and we're getting out of here.
Yeah.
I was like, fine by me. This is really hard to, you got to still perform, but you're like, God, there's only 10 people here, and they're not really paying any attention, and all they want to hear is Dig Down in Dallas.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, it's always a tough mindset, you know, just how to perform your best, even for just 10 people.
Yeah, and like, we were still, I think at that point, like, we were just, Trey invested some money, like, into this, like, Trax rig that's, like, really expensive thing. Like, we're still getting used to it, trying to learn how to run a show, and when you don't have, it's hard to feel that energy from people, and you're like, man, we still got to play this show exactly like we play in front of 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And because I think the next night we played in front of like a shit ton of people, and then we're at this show and we're just like, man. And it still happens to this day, like where, yeah, like we just got back from the Grizzly Rose, and like this particular weekend we were in Grand Junction and Denver, two awesome crowds, and then like a week, like 2 or 3 weeks before that, we were playing in front of like hardly anybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always a mixture of where we go. And then like Texas is one of those weird markets too, because you go out there, it's dance halls. So we're used to people being right in front of us. And yeah, then you get out there and it's just like, bah, like.
Is there anything that you do on the drums to kind of keep that energy up?
I feel like I stay hitting pretty hard. Like, and I feel like I'm pretty consistent night to night. Occasional like mess ups here and there, and Ben will be the one, like, if I know I had a good night if I have like 10 picks, guitar picks sitting down by me, because if I do, like, any time I'm doing something really cool or like really good, he'll chunk guitar picks at me.
That's his kudos.
I like, yeah, that
pick.
Yeah. So if I don't have any back there, I'm like, damn, I had a bad night tonight. Oh. Even though I felt like I did great, I'm just like, man, he didn't throw. Yeah.
He didn't throw nothing.
But he's trying to get me, like, I try to, Trey's a really, I wouldn't say hard person to read. Like, I can read him pretty well, but Ben's like, stand up, do some stuff. Like, you know, if we're like trash can or something, stand up, like, let people, I'm like, I try to, but like, I got to really pay attention to Trey because he's a wild card. Mm-hmm. So he's not like, different acts in this town have ways of running their tracks.
Yeah. Sure.
And ours are, I'd use a MIDI keyboard to run all my stuff, and it's like numbered in set list order. So I have certain buttons that are just loops. And we used to have them very early on where it was just a loop right before the song, and it'd count Trey in. But Trey, he's long winded some nights. So we just had to make a loop that I hit, and it just goes and goes and goes. And then
when he's ready,
I know pretty much the cue word to reach over and start the song. But some of those, like, if he's not paying attention, I have to hit it on like on the three of the third bar of the loop.
What's the cue word?
It can be different every night. Like, he's like, I think the new one is, that's coming out on this new record. It's called Could Have Been Me. And I think it's like second or third in the set now. And that's one of the ones, like, I can time it pretty well, but he'll be like, and I got this new song. And as soon as he says song, I'll hit it real quick. And he'll, but that one, there used to be a lot more in depth. I think we only got two songs now that have like a loop like that. One being like a cover song, but it's just, there's no particular way, because it's literally a boom, boom, chat, boom, boom, chat. So as long as I'm hitting it on the one every single time, like, yeah, it's really easy to follow.
Yeah.
But we used to have one where we do Friends in Low, second to last, mm-hmm, every night, and I have to hit it on a like certain, because he starts the song with nothing, and I have to hit it on a certain word to make sure it goes.
It's a little stressful, right?
Oh, I have to pay attention big time every, yeah, single night. Like, if I'm not paying attention, it's.
But again, I feel like that's just who we are as drummers. You know,
we're
just running tracks, playing the gig, listening to the artist, and for you, like, being this whole, you know, video podcast wizard, like, it's all like transferable skills, right?
Yeah, and it's cool, all under one umbrella, so it works really easy that I can do several different things, and it's all just comes from Trey and that career, and it helps me out a ton. But I also got up here too, and I made a lot of friends, and they've all, you know, it's became a personality too, because I do Braille stuff, and that's under the umbrella of In the Round and Raised Rowdy. And so they have one of these things that I've been named Sweet Boy. And they bring me up on stage every other Tuesday to the rounds to, they're like, all right, which round do you want to take a shot with? And I'm like, I'm down there a good bit and run into all those people. And so it's also became like a personality between like not only doing the drums, but also, which has helped me a ton too. Trey started this new thing of getting me engaged every couple of weeks. We've done it like twice, and videos got like, one of them's got like 120,000 views, and it was just like a fake proposal. And
I think I saw that. Yeah, but you're, but then it's actually real now, right?
No.
Or it's not?
No.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
No.
You got me then, jeez.
And then I was single.
In my notes, recently married. Look
at that. Yeah. It was all a thing. Oh, I still talk.
That's good. See, that's a show ritual right there. Okay, that's... I've never heard that before.
Incredible. That's the best thing I've heard.
It all started. Our first show of the year was a hometown show in Birmingham at Iron City. And we just had a good show. After playing the same set for 2 years, we just swapped it. Like, just went through and redid the entire thing. And we just had a good night. Like, we played our asses off that night. We're like in hometown, so we know all these people. We're like, we're going to go to this old local karaoke dive bar. Yeah. And everybody met us over there. And it was a lot of people from Nashville that came down. And I had just been talking to this girl through DMs on Instagram, and Trey's like, hey, man, $20, you want to propose to her? I was like, it's like, bet. Yeah. And next thing I know, everybody's got their phones out filming, and a girl handed me a ring to put on her finger.
Oh,
and
my God.
What sold it is the guy in the background tossing his beer up in the air. Yeah. And then Trey, he's promoting one of his new songs off the new record with it.
Oh, my God. Pure mayhem.
And then he tagged me in it, and so my Instagram and my TikTok and all that stuff just started flowing. Like, I think I gained like 1,000 followers over the last two or three weeks.
Oh my God.
Is it all like congrats? Like,
oh yeah, there's people in Nashville that even a good friend of ours, Priscilla Block, I was at Live Oak recording a live podcast for another guy, and she came up and said congratulations. I was like, thank you for what? She's like, on your engagement. Are you scared? I was like,
I'm only scared at how effective this deception was.
Yeah, she didn't even know. Trey came in later and told her that it wasn't real. And I went over there. I was like, I didn't know that you thought this was an actual thing. Like, this was a total joke. Like, she's like, oh my God, I thought it was real. I was like, no.
Now, here's my question. Did the girl know that it was not real?
Oh yeah, she knew it wasn't real.
That would suck. You're like, I mean, obviously you're just talking through DMs, so it's not, but it's still like, it would be what if she said yes? And you're like, oh shit.
Oh, she did say yes.
Well, but yes, while not knowing that this isn't real. Yeah.
She like moves to Nashville, events her life.
No, yeah. Well, thankfully she already lived up. She works at the Tin Roof down in Franklin, I think. But she'll pop in over here. Like, she still saved my phone as her name's Katie. It's Katie, my Nashville wife.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And we'll talk every now and then.
Fun little thing to do.
Yeah, it's great. The last engagement we did in Chattanooga, that one was kind of weird. They just picked up some random girl out of the crowd and told her to, hey, when we do this, when you hear Paradise City, just come to the stairs and we'll walk you up. And like, before I even get down on my knees, she's got her hand out like this. Like, I was like, no way people are going to believe this. And that video's got like 100-some thousand views.
Drummer gets engaged again.
We were thinking about doing it in Denver, but we were like, we might need to chill out a little bit. People are going to start not believing this anymore.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, and then he goes back and he's like, so how's the engagement going? And he's like, heard your single again. And then he's promoting his other song, single again, that's already been out.
So he's okay. He's got this marketing mind. You as well.
I told him I'm fine with it. Pays my bills too. My DMs get wild. This girl said, dick me. I had a DM from this girl. I don't know where she's from, but she said, dick me down in Dallas or marry me in Maine. And I was like, I don't know how to respond to that.
Yes.
if you saw someone after that, it was like, I was like, oh man, Trey, you opened up a can of worms.
Yeah,
really.
He probably did it on purpose too. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind it. It's fine. I don't answer all those. Not at halftime. I just open. I don't even accept some of them. I'm just like, oh, I'm not going to. I was like, I don't feel like all my DMs need to be blowing up like this.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild, man.
That's really funny.
We're coming near the time where you said you had to go. I want to be respectful of
your
time. Oh,
yeah.
Why don't we ask a few closing questions?
You said
7:45, right?
Yeah, okay.
So, first of all, we'll ask some of the traditional questions. I have to ask the Nashville question, which is, do you do the hot chicken?
I can't. I don't do spicy foods.
Can't do
spicy foods.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Last time I'd say the last time I had it was, I think it was like a medium at Party Foul.
Yeah.
I ate like a half a piece and I was just like, can't do it.
I have one kind of closing question, which I guess maybe sort of encompasses everything that we've been talking about here just in the past hour. But it seems like it's very apparent that like you and Trey have kind of excelled in this like personality kind of brand for yourselves. And it's really like behooved you as individuals and as the band as well. I'm just wondering like how you feel that is for young musicians and songwriters and artists, like how important that is today. Like, is it no longer like obviously just writing good music and being a good person? That's like baseline. But now like having content, whether it's a podcast or having, you know, these tour vlogs or just like being out there and doing fun stuff and just showing that audience like your authentic self, you know?
Yeah, I think that part of it is really important. I think it's getting better with a lot more of the artists now in town about including their band and crew and everything in a lot of their like social media and part of their show now. And because like every aspect of our show is not, it's about Trey, but it's also, he makes a point to mention each one of us. And it only helps in the long run too, because if any of us are posting stuff too, it only sends them to him. And so ultimately that, it, for one, brings more value to your job, even though like you're expected to show up and be able to play. Mm-hmm. But everybody says it, every drummer in town will tell you that's part of the job, but mainly it's if you can hang.
Yeah.
And like just being dependable. I'd say I'm never late for anything.
Yeah, you were probably 30 minutes early to this podcast.
Yeah. So I saw the traffic and I was like, man, I'm going to go ahead and leave because it's telling me 15 minutes to get here. But I was like, if I'm not, it'll be 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's great.
But I was always taught, if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time.
Yeah. Yep. On time, you're late.
Yeah. Like I don't, even on Broadway, I get down, like if I'm playing down there, I try to get there 30 minutes ahead of time, make sure I got my parking, make sure I've already got all my gear rolled up, set down, then I can kind of chill, get me a water.
Yeah.
And then
make sure you got your clutch, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I keep mine attached to my, I have a soft bag, so I just keep it attached to my hi-hats.
Oh, there you go.
Good man.
But it's, yeah, I'd say, especially for us, it's one of those, which I feel like if you're getting hired for any gig, you've probably got a relationship with that artist already for one way or the other. They've heard about you from whether it's their guitar player, band leader, bass player, maybe tour manager, manager, whoever it is, like, you know, just build that relationship. And, you know, the long haul, I see it more now than often than others. Everybody pretty much, if you land a gig, you're on it for a while. Like, unless you don't work well with them. But I'd say everybody's pretty cool in this town. Like, I haven't met anybody that I just don't get along with.
Yeah.
I'd say it's all, every piece of it is important.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be here, like, cause I wouldn't call myself the best drummer, but I feel like I can play my parts, and we've gotten past all the stuff that happened between us on the road before. Now we're all cool with each other. We know what gets on people's nerves or this, that, and the other. So, and then, you know, if you're having a bad day, just go, you know, if you're in a bus, in a van, whatever it is, you know, put on your jacket, cover your face, like go to sleep, get in your bunk. Or, you know, but we all like to hang out. We like our fun days or the travel days on the bus, you know, get on the bus, and get a case of beer. There's about 10 of us on there and just get after it.
Love that, man. No, that's great advice. Thank you for sharing.
Every band's different, though.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Like, that's just the thing. We all bond. We like to get on there. And cause,
yeah, like if you were to take the formula for Trey and apply it to a sweet pop folk artist that might not work out, right. You know, yeah. 10 beers in, but like take the formula and make your own formula for
yeah.
that artist.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's all different, but most of the time you're getting hired for a gig is because you mesh well with yeah. whoever, yep. whoever's recommended you for it.
Well, and thank God that's people want the gigs that they mesh well in. You shouldn't want a gig where you're like not going to be getting along.
Yeah.
With, like, oh man, that'd be really cool to have that gig. Only it's kind of weird. The vibe doesn't really fit. Like nobody says that. Everyone's yeah. like, yeah, I wouldn't want that gig.
Yeah, it's I sent in an audition tape when we didn't have anything going on with Trey, and I sent an audition tape for I'd call him a legacy act. I pretty much had the end for the gig.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, I don't know if I want to do this because it was. I looked at his whole band. I was like, man, this is a bunch of older guys. And I'm like, coming in as this young guy, I was like, I called the guy that recommended me for it. I was like, it's like, man, I think I'm going to hold off on this. I was like, I don't know that I'm going to fit well.
Yeah.
So I was like, love all the music, grew up on it, but it's like, I don't know that I'm going to fit in too well.
Yeah. That's really important.
Yep.
That's really valuable because we always hear, like, say yes to the gig, go for it. If you're aware that, like, it's not going to mesh well, then it's actually
yeah.
irresponsible probably to say yes. You know?
Yeah, and it was one of those ones, too, like, always be prepared for any gig, but this guy, you had to be super prepared. Like, you had to know pretty much all his catalog because he ran the tracks from a MIDI board in front of him, and he could apparently just turn around and say, all right, we're playing so and so, and you probably haven't played it in a year.
Yeah.
So it's like, so yeah. it's
high stakes.
That's yeah. We'll talk about. I want to know who that was once these mics are off. I'm really curious.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just quick, what does 2023 look like for you and Trey? And where can people get a hold of you guys?
Social media for me is Matt McElwain, McIlwain. And 2023 right now, we're a little bit light on the tour and stuff right now, but. Trey just did sign his record deal with Riverhouse, and he is working on a new album, 20 songs.
Wow.
Dope. That seems to be the trend, huh? Just 20, 36 yeah. songs, yeah. 40.
I think he put out I can't remember if he said 8 or 13 this last year, so he's pumping them out right now.
I mean, hey, more good music. I mean, yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah. He just don't want to... I don't know how they're going to do the release, if it's all going to be at once or yeah, what. Same. I know he's right now. I think they've tracked everything except for he's working on all the vocals right now.
Awesome.
But thank y'all for having me on.
Yeah, man.
Dude, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Nashville Drummers Podcast.
If you've enjoyed these podcasts, please consider supporting us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can help support this dream and keep the ball rolling for us. Believe it or not, it's not free or even necessarily cheap for us to make this thing go. To sign up, go to patreon.com/Nashville Drummers Podcast or click the link in our Instagram bio. All of your help is greatly appreciated.
Check out our new website, NashvilleDrummersPodcast.com. And if you're not already following us on Instagram, you can follow us at Nashville Drummers Podcast.
This episode was recorded at Diamond Sound Studios, located in Nashville, Tennessee.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.